take your Bibles and turn with me to the passage that was just read, Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Tonight, we are going to look at this psalm. We are going to look at what is not only probably the most beloved and well-known psalm, but also, for many, their favorite passage in all of Scripture. Have you ever wondered or asked yourself why this psalm is so popular? Why it is a favorite of so many? Why so many people commit it to memory? Well, this psalm is so loved because it brings peace and comfort to a weary soul, because of the wonderful truths that it contains, truths that we needed to be reminded of again and again. And that's why we want to take a look at it again this evening. Hopefully you are all familiar with this psalm, but the truths that we see contained in it are truths that we need to hear again and again. We need to be reminded that the Lord is our shepherd, that He guides us, He leads us, He comforts us along life's path. Because this psalm answers questions like, is anyone in control of my turbulent life? Who cares about me? Does anyone love me? Is anyone on my side? Who can I count on when difficulties arise? Well, the psalmist tells us that the Lord is his shepherd. He tells us that God cares. That God cares for him, and God cares for all of the sheep of his flock. Even when it seems like nobody else cares about us, God cares. The image of God as a shepherd is a familiar biblical image. Here in suburban Canada, we do not have much first-hand experience with shepherding practices, and much less with ancient Middle Eastern shepherding practices. However, the truths about God that are communicated to us in this psalm are unmistakable. The psalm teaches us of God's providential care. He cares for us. He tends for us. He makes sure that we are safe and secure, and that we have everything that we need. As we reflect on how God is pictured for us in this psalm, we realize that this is a psalm that provides great assurance to the believer. We have assurance that God is leading us and guiding us through all of our steps in this life, and that God will bring us safely home. What will cause us to fear in this life or for the life to come if God is our shepherd? What do we have to fear if we know that He is in control? So may our meditation on Psalm 23 this evening be a blessing to each of our hearts. May we rejoice in the Lord, our shepherd. Verse 1 is an introductory verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Here the psalmist introduces the theme of his psalm, the tender shepherding care of God. And in doing so, he highlights his relationship with God. The Lord is my shepherd. And then the result of this relationship, I shall not want. What a glorious relationship this is. The Lord is my shepherd. God is the shepherd, and we, the people, are the sheep. So then, what does a shepherd do? What role does a shepherd play? What does he do for the sheep? My Bible dictionary says, the shepherds were responsible for the physical survival and welfare of their own or their master's flocks. In comparison with goats, which tended to fend for themselves, sheep depended on the shepherd to find pasture for them, and they required quiet water. Shepherds also had to provide shelter, medication, aid in lambing time, and provision for lameness and weariness. Without the shepherd, the sheep were helpless. So they list all those things that the shepherd does for the sheep, because the sheep are completely dependent upon the care of the shepherd. Without them, they would die. They would be in trouble. They would not be able to get out of it, and they would die. Well, we are sheep. That's what the scriptures compare us to. We are sheep, and we need a shepherd. And the extent of care that a shepherd gives his sheep is the same that God gives to us. He provides for us. He sustains us. He helps us. He protects us. He heals us. He is with us day in and day out. And we need it to be so. And so the psalmist says, the Lord is his shepherd. And he says, the Lord is his shepherd. And you notice in your Bible that the way the Lord is presented here, it's the covenant name for God with the O-R-D in small caps. He uses the covenant name for God. This is the Lord who is his shepherd. The one who shepherds David is the God who made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who faithfully brought his people out of Egypt. The God who entered into covenant with them. So why? Why would David use God's covenant name here? Because the use of God's covenant name is a reminder of his power. God's dealings with Israel as a nation shows that he is the all-powerful God. Right from the very beginning, God made a covenant with Abraham, and he promised Abraham that a child would be born to him and to Sarah. This child of promise, the child Isaac. Genesis chapter 18, verse 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Right from the beginning, God said to Abraham, your covenant, the covenant with you, is going to go through you and then a child that you will have with Sarah. What does the birth of Isaac show? Well, it shows right from the very beginning that God can do the impossible. Even though Sarah was well past the age of giving birth, even though Abraham was as good as dead, yet they were able to conceive. Sarah was able to bear a child. God can do the impossible. Throughout Israel's history, they had seen God again and again deliver them and protect them. Again and again, used his power and his sovereignty for their benefit. So he orchestrated the events in which Joseph was sent into Egypt. Remember when Joseph says to his brothers, when they came and apologized, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God knew what he was doing. He sent me into Egypt to prepare a place so that we could go down as a family and have protection there from the famine. God used his power in that. And then again, God used his power at the Exodus, bringing the people out of Egypt, again protecting them, providing for them every step of the way. Through the time of the judges and into the time of the kings, again and again we see God protecting his people, providing for them. You think of the judges, you think of Gideon and his mighty band of 300 taking on this whole host. But God was with Gideon and the 300, and they accomplished his purposes. They defeated their enemies. So why does David use God's covenant name here? It's a reminder of the power of God. It's also a reminder of the love of God. The use of God's covenant name invokes thoughts of compassion and mercy. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Why did God set his favor upon Egypt, or upon Israel? Because he loved them. Because he chose to. He chose to have compassion and mercy upon them. They were weak and they were needy. And sometimes we feel weak and needy as well. We are weak and needy. But God tenderly cares for those who are in need, for those who are weak. And throughout the covenant, as you read the books of the law, again and again, God takes pains to tell Israel, to tell the people, to look out for those who are outcast, those who are weak, those who are needy, those who are aliens in your land, those who are orphans. Take care of them. And in doing so, you're reflecting the heart of God. Your God cares for those So when David uses God's covenant name, it's again a reminder of the great love that God has for his people. And it's also a reminder that God is faithful. He is true to his promises. God is the one who institutes these covenants. He institutes the covenant with Noah, for example, and says, here's the rainbow, and the rainbow is a sign that I'm never going to again flood the earth. And it is so. God is true to his promise, true to his covenant. He promised Abraham that he would give to him the land, and to his, that he would give to his descendants the land of Canaan. And God was true to his promise. God brought Israel, the nation of Israel, out of Egypt and brought them into the promised land. So why use God's covenant name here? Because it's a reminder of his power, a reminder of his love, a reminder of his faithfulness. And then if you were a sheep and you were to think, what kind of shepherd would a sheep want? What would be the best kind of shepherd for a sheep? Well, what would you expect the response to be? Well, sheep want a shepherd whom they can count on. One who is full of compassion. One who is powerful. Who is able to protect them. One who is loving. One who wants to protect them. One who is faithful. One who will be there for them whenever they need. Whenever they are in need. That is why David says, the Lord, the covenant Lord, he is my shepherd. God's shepherding work comes to its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Jesus shepherded the people. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. I find this a very amazing verse, because in its context, the disciples have just gone out, and Jesus says to them in verse 31, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Let's take our leave. Let's rest, just the 13 of us for now. But then he looks, and he sees the people, and he sees that they are like sheep without a shepherd. And so what does Jesus do? Does he say, let's forget about them. Let's do what we had planned. Let's go to a deserted place and rest. No, what he does is he teaches his disciples that even when you want to rest, there are sheep that need a shepherd, that need care, that need to be looked after. And that's what Jesus did. He cared for the people. He taught them. And that's the beginning of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus met their needs, one who is full of power and compassion. Heals them. He did not turn away anybody who came to him. And throughout the Gospels, that's what we see Jesus doing. Sacrificing for his sheep. Tending people. Reaching out to them. Reaching out to the outcasts of society. Those who nobody else wanted to associate with. The tax collectors. The sinners. Jesus ministered to them. And then finally, Jesus shed his blood for the sheep. He gave his life so that the sheep might live, so that we might have eternal life. The Lord is my shepherd, David says. He not only says that the Lord is a good shepherd, but he says the Lord is my shepherd. He has a personal relationship with God. He is part of God's flock. God is his leader, his provider, his savior. He has entrusted his soul to God. And he depends completely upon the Lord for his life. He knows that he cannot save himself. He knows that trusting in his own strength will only bring failure and harm. Just as a sheep needs a shepherd, David realizes that he needs a relationship with the Lord God. And he knows that he needs God, and he knows that God will meet his needs. And so the Lord is my shepherd, the psalmist says. And because God is his shepherd, he will not need anything. I shall not want. He shall lack nothing. Once again, we are coming up to the Christmas season, the time of year that we are reminded by the incessant commercials of all the things that we lack, the things that we need, that we must have, that we cannot be satisfied without. The toys, the games, the movies, the electronics, the clothes, the shoes, and so on. All these things that we need to be happy. Well, the psalmist says that he lacks nothing because the Lord is his shepherd. And David doesn't say that because, you know, he's king. He did have all the stuff that you could dream of. No, David says that I lack nothing because his confidence wasn't in stuff. It wasn't in his military strength. It wasn't in his international alliances. His confidence was in God. So if the Lord is his shepherd, I don't lack for anything, he says. He knows that the sovereign God will take care of him, will direct his paths, will nurture him, will provide his needs. In verses 2 to 4, David fleshes out a little bit this idea that the Lord is his shepherd. What does God's shepherding care look like? Verses 2 and 3. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God leads and provides all the needs of his sheep. Essentially, in these verses, he's explaining the phrase, I shall not want. What does it mean for a sheep that they are not in want? It means that everything they need is provided for them. The psalmist will not be in need because of the provision that God makes. God takes care of all his needs. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep need to eat and sleep, and they need to be led to a place where they can eat, where they can sleep. And so God leads his sheep to the best place possible, to this green pasture, where feeding is plentiful, to a safe place where the sheep can lie down without fear of predators. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, beside the quiet waters. This is a picture of peace and tranquility. The sheep are being led. The sheep are being led. They're not being driven. This isn't like a cowboy on the back of a horse, you know, with his cattle whip in hand, whipping the cattle and driving them to the intended destination. And there's tenderness here. He leads me beside the quiet waters. The sheep are being gently and compassionately led to the streams of still waters suitable to drink from. Not a raging river where the sheep are going to be in danger of being swept downstream if they stick their heads in to have a little sip of water. But they're being led by still waters. They have an abundance of grass for food and water to drink. Because the shepherd knows what the sheep need, and he provides for them. Likewise, God provides for his people. The sheep who have a good shepherd do not need to worry. And with God as our shepherd, we do not need to worry about our daily needs. As Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 and following, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Our Heavenly Father, our Shepherd, knows what we need. He knows that we need clothes. He knows that we need food. He knows that we need water to drink, houses to live in, and so on. For the Lord is our Shepherd, who meets all of our needs. And so we do not need to worry. We do not need to be concerned. And he carries on and says, he restores my soul. The result of God's shepherding work is that the sheep, we have our spiritual needs met. Our souls are refreshed. They're restored by God. He provides the spiritual food and drink that we need. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We shall be filled. David knows what it's like to be in need of restoration and has received refreshment from God. How does God refresh us spiritually? He refreshes us through His Word. He refreshes us through prayer. He refreshes us through the fellowship of the saints. The Lord has provided these things for us to restore our soul, to refresh us. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. God directs His sheep into the paths that are smooth, the paths that are right. Some have translated this passage, or this phrase, He leads me in the right paths, in the straight paths. He leads me in the straight and narrow road. God knows what the right way is, the best way, and it is the way of obedience, the way of dependence upon Him. God's purpose for us is that we be obedient, that we be godly. The right path, these paths of righteousness, not an easy path, but God leads us. He does not leave us to ourselves, but He provides His Word to teach us, His Spirit to transform us. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. God leads us in the paths that are for our best, that are in our own best interest. He leads us in the best way. But these paths that He leads us in, He also leads us for His name's sake, for His glory. Hallowed be God's name. His name is honored when He takes a poor and needy sinner and transforms them into a child of God, and then safely protects and leads His child, His sheep, through the trials and difficulties and hostilities of life, and delivers us safe into His eternal kingdom. Verse 4. We have a little bit of a shift here. Verses 2 and 3, very tranquil. The green pastures, the still waters. And then in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. No longer are the sheep traveling into green pastures, but they are now going down the treacherous road. And maybe you've read Pilgrim's Progress, and you know this analogy of John Bunyan, and Pilgrim comes to the valley of the shadow of death. Before he even gets to the valley, he runs into these two individuals who are running the opposite way, and they've just come upon the valley of the shadow of death, and they're terrified. We say, Pilgrim, don't go that way. Turn around and flee. You don't want to go and see what's up ahead. The Pilgrim goes, and when he goes, it's the nighttime. And Bunyan talks about the quagmire on his one hand and the ditch on the other hand, and the hobgoblins and the trolls that are there looking to devour Pilgrim. But he stays true. He goes through the valley of the shadow of death, and he makes it through to the other side. And when it's morning, Bunyan has this in his analogy. Pilgrim turns around and he sees what he went through. He sees what all is involved in the valley of shadow of death. And he would be afraid. But he knows that he need not fear, for God is with him. And God was the one who safely orchestrated his journey through the valley of the shadow of death. We go through the valley of shadow of death. We go through dark places, dark valleys of time. But when we do, does that mean that God is no longer shepherding us? No. God is with us when everything seems to be going great, when all the paths seem to be the green pastures and the still waters. But God is still shepherding us when we go down the difficult paths. He is still leading and guiding us. And as we travel, He is there to protect us. David says that he will fear no evil, for God is there with His rod and staff to comfort him. The only protection that sheep have is the shepherd. It's the only true protection that they have. The only true protection that we have is God. The shepherd's staff was used to feed off predators and to guide the sheep, to pull them up out of danger. And there is such a great temptation for us to fear people, to fear situations. But God is in control, and we need not fear. And David, he knows all about difficult roads. He didn't have an easy life. Remember when he fought Goliath? But he had confidence in the Lord. And his motto was, if God is with me, what can Goliath do against me? Why do I have to fear? I am fighting God's battle. The Lord is on my side. So frequently, David and Goliath, David is pictured as being the underdog. But I wonder, if you were to ask David before he was going to fight Goliath, do you think you're an underdog? What do you think he would have said? Not at all. Goliath, he's the underdog, because I'm going to the battle with the Lord on my side. And what does Goliath have? A sword? Armor made by man? Goliath has nothing. I've got the Lord. Goliath is the underdog, not David. But David's difficult road didn't end with his victory against Goliath. Again and again, the difficulties in his life. He had to flee from his home, from Saul. And then he had to flee from his palace, from his son, Absalom. And even when things seemed to be going well with him, he had to deal with difficult people, even the commander of his army, Joab, or his son, Amnon, and the grief that he brought upon his father's head. And yet he says, I will fear no evil, for God is with me, and God is in control, and God has ordered all of my steps. Well, we too have paths that are difficult at times. We hear the news from the doctor, when we have difficulties with our family, when we have concerns with our jobs, concerns about our future. But the psalmist teaches us that we don't need to fear, because God is our shepherd. He is in control. This is why this psalm is so beautiful and so wonderful. Again and again, we need to be reminded that He leadeth me, O precious thought. That He leadeth me all the steps of my life. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. So now we have a shift in image here. A new image. God is no longer pictured as the shepherd here, but he is pictured as a host of a feast. And although the metaphor has changed, the themes are consistent. God is the one who provides, the one who blesses, the one who bestows compassion, the one who is trustworthy in the face of enemies and danger. And so the picture here is God hosting a lavish banquet, and David is the guest of honor. And seated around, seeing God's blessing on David, David's enemies, they have to witness and see how God has blessed David. And as I was thinking about this passage, the story of Mordecai and Haman popped into my mind. When Mordecai goes into the presence of the king, and the king says, what should I do for the one whom I want to show my favor to? And then Haman thinks, well, who do you want to show favor to but me? So he gives all these great things that the king should do, thinking they're going to be done for him. And then to his horror, the king says, do what you've just said for Mordecai. Now, there was no feast there, but that's the same sort of idea, that before his enemy, Mordecai's enemy, Haman, the enemy of the Jews, he had to see Mordecai lifted up, to lead him on that colt, and to announce to all the people, this is what is done in whom the king has favor. And that is a reflection, a picture of what David is talking about here. That God, the king, the shepherd, lavishes upon his people. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows more than I could drink, more than I could eat. It's all provided for me. This is who God is. He gives abundantly to his people. And even in the presence of his enemies, they can't bring an accusation against David. They can't bring him down. They can't destroy the blessings of God upon him. God blesses. And he has blessed us. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's our God. Exceedingly abundantly. This, Paul is stretching for words. You know, how can I explain, how can I describe what God does for us? Oh, he is so good. Exceedingly abundantly. All that we need, he provides. The Lord is a host who has this lavish banquet. And those who are his people are the guests of honor. And verse 6 is a conclusion. What does it mean for those whose shepherd is the Lord? And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He looks at the here and now. He looks at this life. And what happens in this life? Well, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And he looks to the life to come. And then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David ends this psalm with a declaration of confidence in the continued abundance of God's blessing. God has always proved to be faithful, to be a good shepherd to him. And he knows that God will continue to shepherd him in this life and in the life to come. As the hymn writer says, we expect a bright tomorrow, all will be well. Faith can sing through days of sorrow, all is well. On our Father's love relying, Jesus every need supplying, or in living, or in dying, all must be well. All must be well, because the Lord is my shepherd. For all the days of his life, be they characterized, whether they're characterized by green pastures or the darkest valley, the goodness and love of the Lord will follow him. No matter what happens to us, be it good or bad, be it times that are full of pain or full of pleasure, it comes from the hand of a good and merciful God, one who is full of tenderness, one who is full of compassion. And then he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He knows that God will lead him across the Jordan River and into the promised land. And so the psalmist gives us a psalm of assurance, of confidence. The Lord is our shepherd, and he will bestow his love upon us throughout our lives and into eternity. Then the question must be asked, is the Lord your shepherd? Have you trusted in the Lord for salvation? Some people may try to draw assurance and confidence and peace from this psalm, who really shouldn't, because the Lord is not their shepherd. They haven't trusted in him. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Is the Lord your shepherd? Have you been ransomed by the blood of the Lamb? And then, if the Lord is your shepherd, may you take great confidence, great peace. May your hearts rejoice that this psalm is true of you. No matter what path you're going down, God is there. God cares and will always care. And one day, he will bring you into his kingdom. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this passage from Scripture. Our Father, we trust that we all know this passage well. But our Father, it is a passage that we never tire of thinking about. Of thinking about the fact that you care about us. That the Lord cares for us. And Father, we thank you that this is true. We thank you for the hope that this gives us, the peace that this gives us, the joy that this gives us. And Father, we pray that you would bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray.